It is
Blake's Takes for God's Sakes.
Oh God, it's a podcast that comes out every single Wednesday except last week. I was a sick bitch, everybody. I was a sick, nasty little bitch, and to the point where I couldn't do anything, much less this prestigious podcast. Now, I'm recording this on Tuesday, April 18th, year of our Lord. Last week, I don't know what the hell I do know what the hell happened. I was traveling, and I still sound like shit, is the craziest thing. So, I got sick like a week and a half ago, and just an upper respiratory virus is what they told me. I'm like, that sounds a lot like the old COVID-19, and they're like, it's not. We've tested you over and over and over again. That's not what you have. You have an upper respiratory virus. And I was like, shit, I have to travel soon. Am I contagious? And they're like, no, you've already been very, very contagious. So don't worry, you won't get strangers sick. It'll just be your loved ones who have already been exposed to the virus. But no one got sick but me. I got violently ill and still don't feel perfect. Still popping mucinwexes into my damn mouth. But I could not do the podcast last week. And I apologize to the patrons. I couldn't do the Patreon either. So I then drove. So what's the best thing to do when you're sick or getting over a cold? Because that is what I'm doing right now. I am getting over my cold, but I'm like, well, I still have shows, and as long as I'm not contagious, I can still do the shows even if I feel like shit. So I drove. Why fly, right? Why lessen the burden on yourself? I drove all the way down to one of my favorite cities, Raleigh, North Carolina, which it's green as shit. The downtown is not very downtowny, if that makes sense. I think there's probably a financial area that I would never wander into because I'm vehemently anti-money, so having it. So it's a lot of it is dominated by NC State, which is the state University of NC, which is the way I personally abbreviate North Carolina, and it's something I'm probably going to continue to do in my life as I continue to age. Excuse me. So my energy-wise, I feel amazing right now. I just sound like absolute garbage. So if you're listening to this, you're like, oh my God, he's in pain. He's hurt. Oh, I just want to put him in a bath, fully clothed, and just drip honey into his mouth. I hear that. I get it. But I'm fine. I don't need any of that shit from you or anybody else. So drive all the way down to Raleigh, North Carolina. And again, adorable town, great food. The people are very sweet. And I was doing this club called Goodnight's Comedy Club in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I was doing the little room there, and the shows were amazing. The crowds were so fucking good. The crowd Saturday night was one of the best crowds I've ever performed in front of. They were amazing, and I'll be posting some clips from that show on my Instagrams and my TikTok, by the way, which I, against all odds, now have way more followers on TikTok than any of the other social media platforms, and it's because of that weatherman video I posted. I think I have 8,000 followers now. How many I don't check TikTok. It's probably the last video I posted on there. How many followers do we have? I broken 9,000 is the question. I'm gonna bet that I haven't, because breaking 9,000 followers is not a thing I generally do. I have 8,344 followers. Oh, oh my God. He's so funny. Blake Wexler is so funny. He's so funny. Anyway, that video I posted of my... How many views did this get? How many video views? I don't know how any of it... 1.2 million, bitch. You like that? 1.2 million videos. So when I uploaded 1.2 million videos, and each of them got, on average, one view. So, the shows were great. Here's the issue. I sound like a sick pig is the problem. Now, to make the... Now, it's interesting. Before COVID, you could just do a show sick, which is crazy. Just like you could just get on an airplane and just hack cough for forever, and people are like, huh, well, I guess that person's sick. Isn't it crazy to think about? Transport your mind back in early... when did COVID happen? March 2020, right? Before March 2020, when you were around a sick person, like hack coughing, you're like, oh, geez, that sucks. That person's sick. Like, you would feel bad for them. You wouldn't think about you at all, right? And now I know you're probably thinking like, oh my God, of course I would think I would get sick. It's like, yeah, but if you got sick, it was like an inconvenience, you know? Like, and you wouldn't even blame the other person because it was like, oh, I guess they got sick. But now that we know you can put on like a fucking mask if you're like hack coughing, it's like, well, you should do that, you know? But I remember I would just do shows so sick, and everyone would. And just like a teacher would show, like blowing their nose in class. Like, the reason to stay home would be for yourself, not for others, basically. And remember, like, I think like your boss or something, like when you would say like, oh, I have to take a sick day because I'm sick, like it was shameful, right? Where now, if you don't take a sick day, that's selfish, which I believe is progress. But I didn't take a sick day because I knew I wasn't contagious. And I'm like, all right, well, this is just torturing me. However, I don't want to make the audience feel uncomfortable, because what people say, like, here's what someone would say if they were contagious. All right, I'm going to do it right now. I'm not contagious. That is what they would say, you know? So I'm trying to be like, all right, how can I make the audience feel comfortable around me when I sound like this? And I was like, oh, I'll just say that I have allergies, because I do have, I ended up having horrible allergies on top of this goddamn cold that I have. I think that's actually why I still sound like this. And so I get on stage, I'm like, hey, just so you all know, I had a cold a week and a half ago. I'm not contagious anymore, but I also do have terrible allergies. So I'm saying that to let you all know I'm in a great mood. I'm very happy to be here. I'm not sick. I just have a Jewish father is what the joke was. And then ha 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 ha, and we're off and running. And it was great. Shows went amazing. And I did this thing that I've never done in a hotel room before. I vandalized it. I took red paint and I wrote, you're in hell. You are space, the letter N, and then H-E double motherfucking hockey stick. And I painted it on the wall in red paint. And then I did this thing where, so they gave me a hotel room. It was very nice, but they gave me two beds in the hotel room rather than one big bed. So what I did is I took all the covers. This is no bit. I highly recommend this. I call it double blanket off one bed. And I put them all on my bed to double up on the covers so I can be nice and cozy. I also took all the pillows and like surrounded myself in pillows. And then I jacked the AC real fucking cold so I could be nice and snuggly and cozy underneath double blankets. And I know it sounds silly. I cannot recommend it enough. If you go to a hotel and there's two beds in it and you're staying in it alone, double blankets. It's fantastic. You got to try double blankets. Okay? And that's all I have to say on that subject. So anyway, Raleigh, North Carolina, the shows were amazing. Thank you so much to Good Nights Comedy Club, by the way. If you're ever in that area, absolutely incredible comedy club. They just redid it. The main room, I think, seats 350, which might be a little too many. And then the small room, which I was doing, sits about 70. So, which is like the perfect size for a room like that. Also, when I was in Vail, Colorado, I did the Vail Comedy Show, which was a lot of fun. And because I did record my most recent, and this podcast might be a little short this week because I sound like this, but they did, I recorded my last podcast in Vail, Colorado. And since then, I have become quite the skier. And I just want to pat myself on the back. I am very impressed with myself. Hold on one sec. My voice is going.
Great.
And I moved up to Black Diamonds skiing. Isn't that crazy? This isn't a bit. This isn't some, you know, funny, this isn't even really a take. I'm just proud of myself. Been skiing, like, only ski once a year for a week, and thanks to the help of my wife and her family, I do Black Diamonds now, which is crazy. And it's kind of just like anything else, where when you get good at something, it becomes a very different activity, where before with skiing, I'm like, okay, do not break your neck. Do not break your back. Do not break your woo-woo. And do not break your crack is what my approach to was before that. But then once you get good at it and you don't have to think about every single thing, you don't have to be like, okay, move your skis this way. Okay, now turn this way. Okay, now turn this way. It just starts happening organically. Then I was able to start appreciating how peaceful and beautiful skiing is, where I was able to look up a little bit and look at the gorgeous view from the mountain. And whereas if you're doing something and you're not that good at it yet, you're focusing on the mechanics, and it's very, well, mechanical. So yeah, it was a fucking blast. Highly recommend skiing, even though I would say, as far as sports go, probably the highest barrier to entry, right? Both in terms of altitude and in terms of difficulty to get into it, because you have to, it is expensive. You have to find a mountain, correct? Which is already fucking almost impossible, right? You got to find a mountain. You need to have a car to drive to the mountain. You need to have the money to rent the equipment. You then need to make sure the mountain has snow on it, right? Because a lot of mountains don't have snow, and that's my big take of the week. Other than double blankets, that's my big take. So I ended up really, really enjoying it. And I do, what else did I want to talk to? Who else did I want to talk to here? Who else in this room? There is a room. I'm in the room, and there are 9 hooded figures in black hoods. I can't make out their faces. And they're just sitting with their bony hands folded on their laps. Now, their hands are not bare bones. They're skin. However, it is very, they're gaunt. These fuckers are gaunt. Gaunt Girl. Have you heard my pitch for a new movie? It's called Gaunt Girl, and it's just about a very skinny woman who needs to see a dietitian. Wow, we really are back if you think about it. Excuse me. So anyway, Gaunt Girl was passed on by every single major and minor, to be completely honest, production house in the United States. Now, before I move on, I want to talk about Love is Blind. Now, if you don't know what Love is Blind is, it is a Netflix television program where a bunch of fucking idiots get in these cubes and they speed date or date. I don't honestly know what you would call it, but you sit in these cubes, you don't see the other person that you're talking to, and then at the end of it, they have to decide, oh, whether, like, I fell in love with this person through the wall, I'm going to propose to this person. But it's, this is their favorite word to use, sight unseen. So you connect with this person through the wall and you're like, okay, I want to marry you. And then for some reason, the person says yes. And then they, for the first time, as an engaged couple, they see each other for the first time. I've talked about this before, but, and then basically they have to, out of what, like the 30 people that are in it in the beginning, and you don't meet everybody, but you, I would say like 4 or 5 couples end up getting engaged, and then they go on a honeymoon. They're all in the same place, and you know, of course, it's a reality show, so drama unfolds. The couple, sometimes the people don't get along, sometimes they get to see a person that they were talking to when they were invisible to each other, and they're like, oh shit, that person's way hotter than the person I'm engaged to. I should have chosen them. And then they meet each other's families, and their families are like, rightfully so, I'm sorry, what the fuck did you just do? You just got, you went on a reality show and got married? What did I raise an idiot? What is going on here? And then they, you know, some of the, like, they end up getting, they live together for like a week or two, and then they, on their wedding day, you don't know if the couples are going to say yes or not. And then it's like, oh, do you take this person? And the person goes, I do not. And one person bursts into tears. They walk away. It's weird. It's so weird. And this is the reality show that I love. This is the, in terms of reality shows, I watch this. I watch, is Shark Tank considered a reality show? No, it's not. Let me actually just answer that right now. It is not considered a reality show. It's just, what would you call that? A business fair? I don't know what you would call that. But, excuse me. So, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. I don't know why I'm so... It is literally those two shows. I'm trying to think. I did watch a show at one point called Too Hot to Handle, where basically you get like 8 people on an island who are somehow even stupider than the people on Love is Blind, and then they're like not allowed to fuck each other. Is the whole premise of that show. Now, you're probably thinking, Blake, there's... You're oversimplifying, obviously. You know, like you still sound sick. Your voice is going a little bit. You probably don't want to talk too much if you don't have to, which has never been true. But yeah, literally, that is the whole premise of the show. You put a bunch of horny people on an island, and they can't fuck each other, and that is the whole goddamn show. And that, I'm like, oh, okay. I started watching that, and I'm like, I can't watch this. And watching Love is Blind, I am as obsessed with it as ever, except I had a little bit of a wake-up call last night where I found my limit. I found my line where they did a reunion show, which where they have like all the contestants and couples and shit on a year after they all got together, or a year after the final episode aired, if that makes sense. Or, I'm sorry, a year after the final episode was set, and they have them all on, and you get to find out, like, oh, are these couples still together? How is their marriage going? Which I am interested in. But then they start, it's hosted by Nick Lachey and his wife, Vanessa Lachey, I think is her name. And I'm watching it last night. And by the way, we all have guilty pleasures. I think that's healthy. To have a guilty pleasure, something that, like, you know, may not be the highest or the smartest show, but you're into it, you know, and I think that's okay to have those. But I'm watching it last night and I'm like, this truly is the stupidest shit. Like, I think it's one thing to watch a reality show, right? But then it becomes a completely other thing when you're like doing a deep dive into it, you know, and talking about the intricacies and like, oh, the internet really reacted to this moment. It's like, oh, I cannot be this stupid. I need to not be this stupid. And I went through that watching it. I'm like, oh, nope. It's one of those things where it's like, oh, I'm uncomfortable. Like you put your, like a red flag goes up in your head. You're like, I need to set a boundary here. I needed to set a boundary where I can't be that person. I can't be a person who walks the walk and watches reality TV like that. So that's what I realized last night. However, I will give you my quick rundown on the couples. Brett and Tiffany, the perfect couple. I think they're absolutely adorable. I think they love each other and respect each other. And that's what happens when you're older. Kwame and Courtney, or Chelsea, I don't know what her name is. I think that they legitimately, I think that's actually a much better relationship than I thought it was going to be. Bliss and Zach. Now, Zach, I'm not saying this in a flippant way, is 100% on the spectrum. And I think that people, it was bad editing from Netflix to show everybody being like, this guy's fucking weird. This guy doesn't blink. This guy doesn't, you know, he's socially off. And it's like, yeah, you're literally going down the checklist of autistic features. And you're treating him as if he's a weird guy. It's like, no, he just has a difference. He's just different. So that was fucking weird. I think, I don't understand that couple, honestly, at all, but I'm glad they're working out. And then, oh, by the way, spoilers. And who the fuck else is left? There was a guy who was a scientist and a blonde woman. And that fell apart. Yeah, I'm boring myself right now. I'm sick of this shit. I will be, this is going to be a shorter episode because I feel my voice going. But I will be right back. I will be right back, which I guess means we will be right back. Because I have one more thought that I will get to when we come back, and it's about influencers doing stand-up comedy. We'll be right back. Blake is really funny. Blake is really cool. Blah, 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 blah. Blake, Blake, Blake. And we're back. Now, there's this thing happening in stand-up right now, and I think it's happening in a bunch of other fields, too. And I've talked about this, the different skill set thing, numerous times, but I had a little bit of clarity on it. And here it is. So the theory is that there are people who've become very successful in the online world. In this case, I'm going to talk about like TikTok stars, YouTube stars, etc., who are moving into live performance like stand-up comedy. And it's not just that. I've talked to people where, oh, there's someone who has a very successful like online blog who are moving into, you know, magazine writing or more traditional publications. And my overall theory is that these skills don't translate from one thing to another. And the new thing they're doing, be it live performance, be it like magazine writing, be it whatever it is, will often suck because they're not good at it. And that's the general theory. And I don't, you know, the thing in general is like, well, of course it sucks because it's a different skill where they're amazing at making online videos, but to do something live, to put together a live show, is a completely different job. And while there are elements related to it where it's like, oh, well, it is still performance, but it's a very, very different type of performance. And, you know, the analogy would be like, if I have a new joke in my act where I sing part of the Eagle Eye Cherry song, Save Tonight, in the joke, where I go, save tonight and fight the break of dawn, come tomorrow, tomorrow I'll be gone, save tonight. It's that song. God, I have a good fucking voice. It would be like if someone saw me do that song, that snippet of that song, and was like, Blake, will you go on an 8-city tour and perform with a band and just do songs. It's literally what that would be. And if I was to do that, it would fucking suck, you know? If I'm not allowed to be funny with it, it would fucking suck. And that's what's happening with TikTok stars going to do live performances. However, I reached a epiphany, a point of understanding this weekend, where I do not blame these TikTok stars for going into stand-up clubs or going into traditional venues. Because here's what happened. This is how I see these things going. Almost unilaterally, people who get famous from online content and then going into clubs and stuff and like doing, you know, or theaters, doing live shows, I would say 98 times out of 100, it's awful. And what happens is that people will go to see it the first year. It'll all sell out. And because they want to see the person in person who's making these things. Then they're like, all right, I saw that. That was bad, but at least I got to see the person. Then they'll come around for another year and it will be half sold and it will still be a bad show and there will only be half the people in there. And then there won't be a third year because the clubs won't book them again because they're like, oh, okay, you can be bad or you could not sell tickets. You can't do both, you know? And these venues will not book them anymore. So it's basically a two-year shelf life, and I'm being generous, for these awful live performances. And however, if someone said, hey, Blake, we heard you sing part of Save Tonight by Eagle Eye Cherry in your act. We want you to tour with a band and do 15 cities over the next 2 years. And the first year, you will make $300,000. And then the second year, you'll probably make like right around like 80, 90 grand from doing it. Are you interested? I would be like, yeah, I'll do that. I will 100% fucking do that. Because it's free. It's just money on the table. It's like, I will fill the time. Now here, that's interesting. How would I fill the time? Okay. So I would talk to musician friends, sit down with them, pay them some money and be like, hey, can you help me put a song together? I'd learn the songs. I'd take voice lessons. And I would also be very, I'd be a great front person, okay? I'd put all my effort possible into putting on a good show, even though I had no talent whatsoever at singing. I would also hire a really good band to be the opener and use up a lot of the like hour and a half allotted time that I had for the show. So the audience does get to see quality, like an opener that hasn't broken yet, right? Like they're not famous yet, and it would help them get exposure. And also the audience would see, okay, it's not Blake, but at least it's like, oh, there's quality here, right? And then I'd close out the show. And I'd pay them well. I'd pay them appropriately. That's how I would do it. So that is my area. I'm coming from an area of empathy now where like I don't blame them for doing this anymore. Okay? And that's where I'm at. Folks, this is a shorter podcast this week because I am still not well. But patron and the rest of you, I will talk to you next week. I did schedule, but it's really all I can fucking handle. So I will talk to you all. Thank you for being patient. This is Blake Sakes, for God's sakes. Good night. Blake Wessler. 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 Blake Wessler.